All right, the sermon for today, Sunday called Quinquagesima, or the Sunday next before Lent. Calling of Charity by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr. And this, he was talking about, now it's kind of ancient history, the death of Princess Diana and what was going on, the funeral and whatnot. One of the few relatively light moments in Princess Diana's funeral came when Prime Minister Tony Blair read today's New Testament lesson epistle. There is nothing intrinsically amusing about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to be sure. But after the reading was over, one of the commentators I was listening to asked the person with him, "What did you think of the Prime Minister's address?" The other one replied, "It seemed perfectly appropriate under the circumstances." As I recall, Tony Blair did not introduce what he read in the proper way. But even so, the fact that the commentators did not recognize this well-known Bible passage seemed at least mildly remarkable. Blair read it in the King James translation, but at every point the word charity came up, he substituted the word love. That really is not much help toward understanding what St. Paul is talking about. Fact is that both of these words carry connotations that make it difficult to see what he means. When we hear charity, we think giving money away. Love can mean so many things that it does not clear things up much either. St. Paul is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has just got done describing healing and prophesying and speaking in tongues and other such things. He has taught very clearly that those gifts are not for everybody. If you have one or more of them, that is great, so long as you use them to help build up the church, rather than as a way of calling attention to yourself. He concludes the argument by saying that the three most important gifts of the Holy Ghost are available to everybody just for asking. Those gifts are faith, hope, and charity. Charity is the greatest of the three because charity is the nature of God. What St. Paul means by charity is the way Jesus always acts toward us. How does he act? He acts always for our good, in our best interests. His dying on the cross to free us from the power of sin, Satan, and death, and to guarantee us never-ending forgiveness. Is the most dramatic example of that, of course. But we can learn to see that everything that happens to us is a way God shows us his love, his charity. As St. Paul puts it in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love God. God shows us his love, his charity, in what happens in our lives. St. John says, since God loves us, we should love one another. That summarizes Christian morality, Christian ethical behavior. It means always to act for the good of the other person. Jesus acts for our good. We should act for each other's good. If that were easy to do, we would not need to be reminded constantly to pray for the strength to do it. We are inclined naturally to act for our own good and not necessarily to consider the good of anyone else. But Jesus uses that natural tendency precisely to tell us how we should act. He says, "You love yourself. You do what is best for yourself without having to think much about it." Your job as a Christian is to choose to act that way toward everyone you meet. The Golden Rule tells us to act toward others as we would want them to act toward us. for our good. The only fully Christian way to evaluate your relationships toward other people is to ask the question, am I acting for this person's good, or am I just using him in some way to promote my own interests? We will discover that we have few completely charitable relationships. I find that people are particularly likely to have difficulty with the concept of Christian love when they are in a situation where a friend or a family member is behaving badly. I often find myself asking, do you think it is the best thing for him to allow him to persist in acting in this destructive way? People assume far too much that love means no correcting, no judging bad activity, no suggesting that some things are right and others wrong. It is time to get ready for Lent. The prayer book tells us to fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and to cut back on food intake on the other days of Lent. Lent is the obvious time to get more serious about the other regular disciplines of the Christian life. Regular church attendance, regular prayer, regular Bible study, regularly giving money away. We have plenty of Bible study classes. I will be giving instruction about prayer at the Quiet Day next Saturday. And I am always glad to talk to any of you privately. Would that we had Bishop Cahoon here. But St. Paul reminds us that no Christian discipline is an end in itself. The point of Christian discipline is to build up our charity, make us appreciate the charity God shows us, and make us want to show God's charity to other people. God evaluates the quality of our lives on the basis of how much we love in the Christian sense. None of us does terribly well at it. That is why Jesus had to die. But that is not an excuse for not praying for the grace to love more. As St. John asks, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.